Good morning and welcome to our worship today. Really, the theme of the service could just be these words, hope restored. The certain hope of eternal life with God is restored through the resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. We begin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. We have come into the presence of God, who has created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him, and we deserve his wrath and punishment. So let us confess our sins to God and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you. I do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. Friends, our Heavenly Father has forgiven us all of our sins. By the perfect life, the innocent death of our Lord Jesus, he has removed our guilt forever. We are his own dear children. May God give us strength to live according to his will. Amen. We collect our thoughts in prayer. O God, by the humiliation of your Son, you lifted up this fallen world from the despair of death. By his resurrection to life, grant your faithful people gladness of heart and the hope of eternal joys. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We turn to the Word of God for this third week of the Easter season. Our first lesson is from Acts chapter 2. We'll read verse 14 and then 36 to 42 of chapter 2. We hear about Easter's afterglow. Verse 14. Excuse me. Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and he addressed the crowd. And now to verse 36. Therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. They said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. This is God's word. The verse of the day reads, Alleluia, Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Oh, our hearts were burning within us while we talked with us on the road, and he opened the scriptures to us from Luke chapter 24, verse 32. Alleluia. We hear now then that scripture of the disciples on their way to Emmaus from Luke chapter 24. We'll begin reading at verse 13. This serves as our gospel reading for today. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Jesus asked them, What are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and you do not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things? Jesus asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and for all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of the women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." So Jesus went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened. They recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned once to Jerusalem, and there they found the 11 and those with them, assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen, and he's appeared to Simon." And then the two told what had happened on the way, and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the gospel of Christ. We turn now then to our message for today. The message that comes to us from 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read it in a moment. My friends, what word comes to mind when you see a picture of the beautiful flowers of blooming on a cactus? My answer was, wow, when I saw it coming into the church parking lot on Wednesday. Wow. What wows you? What do you see in your life? What do you hear in your life? What do you experience in your life that brings out that response? Wow. Well, how about God's love? God loves me today when I'm at church, wearing a suit, my shoes shined. God loves me when I'm nice to my wife. God loves me when I'm patient and understanding with people. God loves me when I'm peppy and positive and ready to take on the world. I know how God feels about me then. God loves me when I'm having a good day. What I really want to know is, how does God feel about me when I'm not having a good day, when I'm actually having a bad day, when I snap at anything that moves, when my thoughts are hateful, my tongue is sharp, when I haven't been a good husband or a caring Christian, when my life does not match up to my beliefs, then what? Well, the answer is that God still loves me. Despite what he sees, he still loves me. And what's true of me is true of each and every one of you. God loves what he sees. No matter what he sees, God loves you. One by one, God turns to you and he says, "You are my child." No matter who you are, no matter what you have done, no matter how many times you turn your back on me, I will not turn my back on you. I love you. I always love you, and I always will. Wow. That's what causes you to say, wow. God's love for us is one doozy of a wow factor. The Apostle Peter lays that out so nicely in our lesson before us today. The wow of God's love for us. beginning at verse 17. Since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. When all is said and done, when it hits you that you will soon be checking out of this hotel we call Earth for the last time, what does everyone want to be able to say when looking back? I've lived a rich, full life. No one would want to care to look back on life and lament, I came up empty. But on our own, we do. People often ask, where you plan to live when you retire? I really don't know the answer to that. But I do know that there is someone who will retire with me. And if she was asked that question, I am pretty sure she would say, I plan to retire whenever we get there, to live in a place with sun and without snow. The late Christian writer C.S. Lewis wrote of a place with a lack of sun, with lots of snow. In fact, it was always winter there, always snowy, cold, and dark. He called it the land of Narnia. Even though it's perpetual winter, there's no Christmas in this land of Narnia. Can you imagine winter without a Christmas? Or even worse, a spring without an Easter? The land of Narnia is the empty life Peter speaks of. Since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from this empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. The reason life is empty is because the life we are born into is without God. The sin handed down to us from mom and dad and from one generation to the next takes God and just shoves him out of the picture. It's like taking a picture of your family and then cutting one of the members of your family out of the picture. It's just not right. And no matter how hard we try, we can't make it right. With my right hand, I could sign my name, and it's going to look like that for a long time. And I could do it 1,000 times, and it would look the same. And now if I would try to match that with my left hand, I can't do it. No matter how many times I try, I can't do it. It'll always come up empty, fall short. The right hand is God's law. The left hand is my effort to try to obey that law of God. And no matter how hard we or I try, we fall short, we come up empty. So it's easy then not to even try at all. But in steps God to our shouts of, wow, you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Peter uses a word. Whether you're familiar with it or not, it's good to just get to remember it. And that's the word redeem. To redeem means to buy back. And to understand it, just think of a kidnap scene. The son or daughter of rich parents is kidnapped, and the kidnappers demand a ransom to get the child returned unharmed. Why will the parents pay that ransom? The answer, of course, is love. Each of us is a child kidnapped by Satan who demanded a price only God could pay. And on Calvary's cross, Jesus paid that price. He took God's anger against sin. On the cross, Jesus paid the ransom with his precious blood. And through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and your hope are in God. I want you to imagine you're at a funeral. And as the funeral is being conducted, all of a sudden the person in the casket just gets up and walks out of the casket, comes to life. In your wildest dreams, you probably could never imagine that. Well, you would probably use the word wow to try to describe it. Well, my friends, that actually happened. And all of us have seen it. And all of us have had it happen to us. Maybe you don't remember it, but you have had it happen to you and you have seen it. It happens at baptism. All of us were born dead in sin, but the Holy Spirit made us alive when he brought us to faith through the water and the word. And at the funeral of our old Adam, our new man was born for a full life that lives in hope and service to God. Wow. God's love purchased us from an empty way of life, and it empowers us now to live a full life. He says, live as strangers in reverent fear. That almost sounds kind of weird. Live as strangers. Have you ever walked into a room full of strangers? I did. Once, for about 2 seconds. When I walked into a room and everyone's jaw dropped. A woman's bathroom. Walked in oblivious, walked out terribly embarrassed. And I'm sure there were a few wows from those who were in that room. Like, wow, what an idiot. What Peter has in mind here is much different than that. He tells us our lives are to wow people in a wonderful way. And we do that by reacting to meanness with kindness, by reacting to hate with love, by reacting to hurting with forgiving, by reacting in such a way that our good behavior stands out amongst evil behavior. And to use words that bring glory and honor to God's name. Okay. That's not that easy, is it, to do all those things? Because if it was that easy, everyone would do it. And why is it not easy? Because it's called peer pressure. Peer pressure isn't something only young people face. It's the pressure Satan puts on us to leave our faith in the door of the church when we head out. It's pressure to be like everyone else, to do what they do and want to do what they do. To be honest, the only way we can resist such pressure is through the power of God and his word. As Jesus lives in us through his word, Jesus comes out in us through our lives. Lives that others see and perhaps would say, wow. And they themselves will be led to say, maybe there is something to Jesus. Maybe there is something to faith. A few years ago in Ohio, a couple who held hands at breakfast every morning, even after 70 years of marriage, they died 15 hours apart. The couple's 8 children say the two had been inseparable since meeting as teenagers. They once even shared the bottom of a bunk bed on a ferry, rather than spending even one night apart. One of the daughters said, we knew that when one went, the other was going to go immediately. Now, some people might think that's sad. I think that's the power of love. God's love for you and for me is even more powerful. It's love best seen in the cross. is love best expressed by one little word? Wow. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. God bless you. God bless your week.